It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're going to analyze, dissect, and perhaps understand the latest moves at Microsoft, including the departure of some big names. It's coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 352, recorded March 5th, 2014. Penn and Reller. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For 50% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW50. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the microphone, and enter Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers Microsoft, Windows, and all that stuff, all that jazz with Mary Jo Foley, allaboutmicrosoft.com. Who better to be on this show? I mean, really, even the name says it all. And then there's that other guy, Paul Thurrott. Yeah. He's of the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com, the author of a multitude of books, more books, really, than cats have lives. And his latest just came out because it's online. The Windows, what is it, the Windows Phone Book? No, Windows 8.
I gave it a name, Leo.
What's the name?
It's the Windows 8.1 Field Guide.
Ah, good name. And I don't think there's a chance the field guide folks will sue you.
Screw those guys.
Windows. Just 8.1.
Hey, listen, we did an extensive 7-minute Google search for this name, and we feel confident that.
Oh, how could it go wrong? Windows8.1book.com. And now it has a name. And that name is Legion. No.
Yes.
That name is Windows 8 Field Guide. Yay! Congratulations. Get your copy at windows81book.com. So, good Lord, it's been a busy weekend for Microsoft. News broke Sunday morning. Kara Swisher at Recode seemed to have gotten the scoop, but it seems confirmed now that Tammy Reller has been scroogled. Aww.
We missed an opportunity for Penn and Reller jokes. I feel really bad about that.
Because she has been replaced by Mark Penn. Penn and Reller.
Actually, by the left hand of Satan. Penn.
No. Oh, that's his job is not her job?
No.
Not exactly.
No.
But they were both in marketing, right?
Yeah. They were both.
So I am actually kind of a little peeved about Mark Penn getting. He's like a big strategic position now. He's like responsible for strategy. This is the guy who came up with Scroogled, the guy Hillary Clinton fired because he was ruining her primary campaign.
He's as close as we get to Swift boating on the Democratic side of the fence.
Yeah, he's a dirty prank guy.
Yeah.
And I guess, is this a reward for the success of the Scroogled campaign?
Well, he also did the Honestly campaign, right? And
which one was that?
It's this one that no one noticed because it was kind of a feel-good campaign. It's actually ongoing right now. If you go to the Microsoft, I guess it would be the Windows channel or whatever on YouTube, you can see some Honestly ads.
Honestly.
I think Honestly? They're really weird. Do you like them?
No, actually I don't.
I mean, whenever I see them, because they're all over the New York subways too, every time I see it, it says, honestly, I really like my Surface or whatever. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to
I feel like this is like, wow, I'm having a really good time. And you're like, no, you're not.
Honestly.
That's sad.
I've seen the first one, which is the teacher.
Yeah. And actually, the Nokia guy, the one the second from the right, I see that one on TV a lot. That's for that icon.
I want a phone that shoots epic video, man.
So the video and the ad looks great, for whatever that's worth. Or maybe it's a separate video they have online, but they show the video the guy takes with his phone. It's actually pretty sweet.
Here we go. Let's go full screen on it.
Honestly, I wanted a smartphone that shoots great video. So I got the new Nokia Lumia Icon.
So you can't really see it too well in this ad.
It says actual video from...
Yeah, but if you go to YouTube, there's a separate video of just of what they shot. And it's actually really beautiful. Capture
incredible sound.
You know what I like about ads like this? It really focuses on the functionality. It's even, you know, half the screen is the person we don't care about, but the other half is actual footage of the Lumia Icon. No, I like that.
You know what I noticed about these ads just today? I wrote an article about Windows Snap, which is that feature in Windows 8 where you can have two apps side by side.
Yeah.
The Honestly ads are in Snap mode.
Oh, yes, you're right.
They divide the screen in half, right? I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is very interesting. Now, if I go, I wonder if I'm on that YouTube channel. I wonder if I...
So, if you want to see the original footage, you actually have to go to the Nokia channel.
On YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah. Let me see if I can find it.
Let me just... this is the Windows Phone channel.
Yeah, so it's on Nokia. Nokia has it.
It's a Nokia channel. That's nice. That's confusing.
Well, yeah, right, sure.
There's still two companies for
now. Yeah, yeah.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, it'd be nice if YouTube said related channels, the Nokia channel, but no, they say related channels, Marcus Brownlee, Google Chrome, Samsung Mobile, CNET, and Android Authority. I think they're confused.
Sure.
Even the featured channels are Windows Phone UK, Windows Phone India, and Canale di Windows Phono.
Actually, that view, you see the Day on the Slopes video that's in the middle there? That's probably it there.
A Day on the Slopes. Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah, it's 30 seconds. No, it's the same. It's an ad.
No, watch it. But this shows video. All of this was taken with the camera.
Oh, all of this was taken with the camera.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This was all shot with my new Nokia Lumia Icon.
Oh.
It's actually, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Even at full screen, it's pretty good. It's a little over-compressed. It's a phone, remember.
Sure.
Four mics. The sound is good. All right. You got me one. And that's the Mary Jo phone, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
Mary Jo phone. Yep.
So when Mary Jo will sign your icon if you go to New York City.
When you go in when you go in snowboarding mode, Joe.
Yeah, I will not be on the slopes with my icon.
And where will you be signing? You have a little booth in Times Square? What is that? What's that all about?
No, I have a little booth at Rattlin' Home.
Oh,
nice.
Just come to the bar.
Come by.
It's a little sign that says, the doctor is in.
Exactly.
Cool. So that is a good campaign, I think, the Honestly campaign.
Yeah.
The
still ads are a little weird because whenever I see them, like I said, I always think, what, like as opposed to dishonestly? The honestly word is what kind of throws me off.
No, I'm with you.
I think it's because the perception of Windows 8 is so negative. Like these guys are saying, you know, honestly, this is really good. It kind of stinks they have to approach it from that standpoint.
True.
This is why Hillary Clinton, by the way, is not the president of the United States, because he did the same thing with her.
I think
honestly,
there are a few more
reasons, but honestly, she's really almost as good as Barack Obama. Honestly.
Hey, Leo.
What?
Honestly? I wish she had been elected.
At this point, it couldn't be a bad thing. Wouldn't be a bad thing. But let's not get political.
No, let's not.
Looking for a laptop. So this is their Honestly page, Microsoft.com/honestly. And it's a bunch of ads. And the only one, so I haven't seen the snowboarding one. I guess I don't watch the same sporty programs you watch.
Right, that's me.
But I have seen the fat teacher saying.
The sporty spice of the podcast.
He says something like, I hate it. There's all these computers in school or something. I still think you need to write.
Honestly, I'm a little old fashioned. I love chalk and erasers, but change is coming.
So to me, I agree with Mary Jo. That's the wrong message to say. I guess maybe it's to appeal to a certain group who hate computers.
Listen, those people are going to love Surface because it's nothing like a computer.
So his job is not strictly marketing, though. Mark Penn will be chief strategy officer or something, right?
Right. So his new title is executive vice president and chief strategy officer. And It's a little unclear what that really means. It says he's going to look into areas of future investment for the company, but no more. He's not going to be doing advertising anymore, it seems.
Is it biz dev or is it vision thing?
No.
You know what I think it's related to, Mary Jo? They always talk about him and data metrics, and Microsoft loves metrics, right? So this guy comes in and he's like, I have all this data that shows that this worked and this didn't work. And those guys must swoon over him. And so I bet what they want him to do is apply that methodology to new market and product ideas. You know, I bet that's what
Although a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot. Some people say all the metrics he comes out with to show how successful Skrugled's been and how great his marketing campaigns have been is kind of cooked. So
self-serving. You mean you can lie with statistics, Mary Jo? Are you sure?
Well, that was his background. He was a pollster the Clinton campaign. So that's all about metrics and data.
So he's going to still, I asked about the Skrugled campaign and they said, you know, we're not saying he's not going to be handling that anymore. He's still doing competitive intelligence, but he won't be the actual one coming up with the ads. That now is going to be under Chris Capicella, who, by the way, is a big fan of Windows Weekly.
Hey, Chris.
He listens to the show.
And since we're sucking up to him, I will say he's also a great guy.
Nice guy. I love that, Chris.
Yeah. Nobody really is. I mean, he really is.
Yeah. So he's the new single person in charge of advertising marketing. So there is finally just one person now instead of two. Before it was Tammy Reller and Mark Penn. Now it's just Chris Capicella.
That was probably an ugly thing. Reller was, along with Julie Larson Green, tapped to take over Windows after Sinofsky left.
Right.
Temporary. Remember,
it was temporary. It was really temporary.
I know, but even when it happened, I remember the conversation. Well, I don't remember. I assume the conversation we must have had was, this can't be the long-term solution.
Yeah.
It just seemed like they were looking for some continuity, tread some water while they figured out what was going on. Maybe they knew the reorg was coming, whatever. But it never felt permanent.
Well, and in fact, it wasn't. Both moved on quickly.
Yeah.
So Reller is out. Now, the same story from Kara Swisher said that Tony Bates was out. I don't see that here. Is that true or not?
He's out.
Yep.
So Tony Bates is out.
And you both said that's kind of inevitable. If you're on the short list for CEO and you don't get it, you've been a CEO.
I think that's the key part, that what you just said. Yeah. He was a CEO before, wanted to be a CEO. I think he was a long shot for Microsoft, but he'll crawl back. He'll go back to Silicon Valley and, technology.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But you know what I think is interesting? So Bates is out, but the person replacing Bates is a very familiar figure if you've covered Microsoft for a long time. It's Eric Rutter. And Eric Rutter actually at one time in his career was seen as Bill Gates' heir apparent.
Interesting.
So he has been doing a lot of kind of secret missions inside the company. He's been heading up advanced strategy, and now he's going to take over the evangelism and biz dev role at Microsoft, at least as an interim takeover. We don't know if that'll be permanent or not.
By the way, TechnoSquid found a picture of Mark Penn from his political era, back when he was in politics.
Oh, boy.
That's not a flattering image. It's an illustration of him as a pig, apparently. So is this all...
Listen, there's going to be a burst of sulfur, and he's going to appear next to you, so you got to be careful.
So this is all Satya Nadella's chess pieces are starting to move on the board, as you would expect, right?
Right. You know.
He get rid of Tony, or did Tony walk out the door? Did he get rid of Tammy, or did Tammy walk out the door?
So I'll tell you what I've heard about that. I've heard that now that he's taking over and kind of adjusting his inner circle, known as the senior leadership team, it became apparent like we don't need two people heading up marketing, and one of you is going to win. And it ended up being Chris Capicella, actually. So I think Tammy probably, if I were her, just said, okay, well, I'm out.
So she was, that would make sense. So she was told, hey, you're not going to be it.
You're not going to be it.
Yeah.
And
if I could speculate real quick before we move on to the next person, I get the vibe from both her and Julie Larson Green that both of them were basically given the same deal, which was, you're not going to do the thing you're doing now. You're welcome to go wherever you'd like to go at Microsoft, and try for a job. It's up to you. And Julie Lassengreen said yes to something somewhere else in Microsoft. And Tamara Ruella said, screw this. And I'm, you know, and left. That's how I sort of perceive it.
Yep. I bet you're right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Julie Lassengreen is now no longer heading up devices and studios. She now is going to work for Chi Lu in the applications and services group.
But that's where she came from. She's office, right? She's a ribbon.
Yeah. She's more like, yeah, design office. Yeah. And but an interesting thing is she's off senior leadership team now, which is the inner circle. So she's right. not in that group anymore. Right.
She's right. not in the star chamber anymore.
She is not.
That's too bad because I think she was only the only woman there, right? Or are there other women there?
It was her, Tammy Roller, yeah. who's gone.
Yeah.
And now there's two women left on the SLT, as they call it, senior leadership team. There's just because we need more
actors. Amy Hood, right?
Yeah.
Amy Hood, CFO.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And Lisa Brummel, who heads up human resources.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yep. But still, that's two women gone.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I realize this isn't like an affirmative action thing, no, but maybe they could have gotten rid of two guys. I mean, it's still kind of middle-aged white guy heavy over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Although John Thompson's been very kind of activist, hasn't he?
Yep. He's the chairman of the board now, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And you've got, so on the senior leadership team now, you've got Satya Nadella, Chi Lu, and Harry Shum. So not all middle-aged white guys, right? Yeah.
And Chi Lu is widely acknowledged as brilliant. I mean, he came from Yahoo, where he was head of search over at Yahoo. Right. Worked at search at Microsoft for a while. But I've met the guy. He's widely, and by the way, also a fan of Twit. At least he recognized me and said, oh, yeah, I listen all the time.
Nice.
But widely recognized as a really smart guy. So that's good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want smart people.
Yep.
Honestly.
Sure. There was some language in the letter. You know, Satya Nadella wrote a letter to employees. And just like the previous one, it was just released publicly. There was some language in there that I thought was a little telling, right? He talked about, you know, I informed the SLT they all had to be all in on the strategy, yada, yada. And with that in mind, we're going to tell you about the people who are leaving. You know, in other words, some of these guys weren't all in with the strategy, you know?
Yeah, that is telling, isn't it? Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. The past month, I've had the opportunity to talk with many of you in person on Yammer. Nice plug right in the first line there. And in groups in Redmond as well as Boston, Northern California. Hey, Satya, next time you're in NorCal, come by. Say hi.
To Boston, by the way. I mean, really.
Yeah, you're in the... He's following us, Paul. So Tony Bates has decided this is the right time for him to look for his next opportunity.
And by the way, that too is telling.
Yeah.
Tony Bates has decided to leave.
Yeah.
Tammy Rowley did not decide to leave.
She did. Yeah.
No, her position is a little different.
Yeah. And Mark Penn will play a new leadership role at the company, EVP's Chief Strategy Officer. Tammy agrees with the go-forward approach of a single marketing leader and will support Chris through his transition into his new role. She will then take time off and pursue other interests outside.
I mean, seriously, could you find a more trite phrase to describe someone who just got bounced out of the company?
But you're absolutely right. You have to parse these phrases.
Yeah, find that very strange.
Tammy has not decided. It's been decided for her. But he said very nice things about her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's getting a big golden...
stuff in there about rowing a boat.
She's getting a good golden parachute, right? And she will have the money to take some time off. And we do look forward to seeing what she does next, as Satya Nadella says. And then he quotes a book from the rowing team.
It's only a matter of time before we're going to get haikus at the end of these things.
He says it's the team of rowers working together at the highest level. That's called the swing of the boat.
Yeah. That's the aura coming around and hitting you in the back of the head.
It's when teams kind of are all rowing together and it just kind of magically starts to swing.
One of us is not rowing together, Tammy.
Yes. Poetry. That's what a good swing looks like.
The boat is turning. It's not going straight.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why? Because of you. It's because of you.
Oh, come on now.
Somebody's oars in the water.
I don't know. Some of us have stronger arms than others, Tammy.
Honestly.
I don't know.
Honestly, yeah.
I like it.
Honestly, Tammy.
Honestly, Tammy. time
you've been scruggled.
Come. So. I think, though, that makes sense. And you bring in a single person, and I think that all makes sense. And Chris Caposola is well, you think, well equipped to take over?
He's a great guy.
I think you guys complain about the marketing message a lot. I think that they need to.
Yeah, I have high hopes for this now. I wish they could bring back Tom Rizzo, but because he was another kind of Mark Panish kind of guy when you think about it. Chris Caposella used to be high up in the office, Oregon, was in office. He was in a bunch of parts of Microsoft, but I always thought he was kind of going to run office of some kind. What was the guy, Jeff, somebody looked like Bill Gates, who runs the Jeff Rakes. Also was a guy kind of like that. I thought he was going to move in that direction and things, you know, obviously I'm just looking at it from the outside, but I always kind of figured those guys would, you know, one or the other would kind of run office or whatever. But
this letter emphasizes the role that Caposella played in the transition to devices and services. So that, I mean, he's not, in fact, this whole paragraph doesn't talk about what a great marketer he is or what a great communicator he is.
He worked with OEMs, wasn't that the deal?
Yeah, he worked with OEMs on a global basis, gives them visibility and insight into how customers are buying and using our products. I like this. This is less of a, he knows how to put lipstick on a pig, and more, he understands the business really well. He understands our customers really well. That bodes well.
Yeah, he also is the guy who is doing some of the store within a store stuff, you know, at Best Buy.
I was just wondering about that. Yeah, so he was the retail guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As well. Okay, good. Yeah. The one thing I'll miss about Reller, but I'm sorry to keep interrupting. The one thing I will miss about Reller is for the last 18 months or so, she has kind of been the public face of Windows.
Yes.
And every few months, you know, like a groundhog or whatever, she pops out and she starts talking about how things are going. And in other words, it's going to be a long winter, Mary Jo, is what I'm saying. I don't know who will fulfill that role now, you know, whether it's at Goldman Sachs or whatever, you know, wherever these events are.
Well, the person
she kind of did that
is it should Chris be Terry Kemp, Meyerson.
So. Oh, Terry Meyerson. Oh, because he runs the OS division.
I would think. I don't know. Okay. I mean, if you want the person who should be talking more publicly about what's going on with Office and with Windows and Windows Phone and Xbox, should be Terry Meyerson.
It should. Yeah. I mean, right. So, I mean, Tammy was in kind of a marketing position and that makes some sense too, but hopefully we'll see Terry Meyerson. I would expect we would at Build soon.
So. Build. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I interrupted you about 17 times.
No. I think all these moves are really interesting. It's setting up a Microsoft with a lot of people who have been around the company for a long time coming back, like Caposella and Rutter, right? They're kind of back in the center of Microsoft. They've been there. They're both longtime veterans. So that's pretty interesting that they're going deep and kind of taking people who've been around and bringing them back into positions of power there.
Yeah. Right.
Well, good. And this is just the beginning, right? Presumably there will be more changes and more repositioning, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's still rumors about what's going to happen with Kevin Turner, who's the COO, because he also did not get the CEO job. And there's been talk maybe he's going to leave as well. But that's just still, at this point, rumor. Yeah, so things can still change more. And then, you know, once the Nokia acquisition is signed off on, then Stephen Elop comes back too.
He's still running Nokia. He's not doing, he has a title at Microsoft.
Oh, he's not. Yes. So he actually moved out of the CEO position at
Nokia. That's confusing.
Executive chairman or something like that.
So he's not running Nokia. He went right over to Microsoft. And
he's still at Nokia. It's kind of a strange thing. Like he did the Nokia stuff at Mobile World Congress. He does a pretty good job.
He did a great job. I gave him A+. He was concise. He announced five phones in 45 minutes. He positioned it all, I thought, very well.
Yeah, I feel like he knows the stuff. You know, like a lot of CEOs, they're a little detached from the day-to-day or from the products or whatever. And I really feel like this guy is in the trenches. And so that may speak well for him doing the devices stuff.
He's Canadian.
And he's...
So, need we say more?
Like, Leo, no one is perfect.
He's very polite. Okay.
Hockey
okay.
fans. You know, you got to be
so
careful.
We wouldn't expect any announcements about his role until after the acquisition is finalized.
Right. Well, I mean, we presume he will be.
Oh, well, we know he's going to head up devices and studios. We already know that.
They have said that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't know, you know, what his order of business will be or kind of what he's thinking strategy-wise. We don't know that.
Hopefully he'll write a burning platform speech.
About the Nokia X, you're hoping?
Yeah.
Our platform. Who wrote that original one? What was that?
He did. When he came to Nokia, he spent a few months or several months, whatever, and he finally said, this is a burning platform. We need to switch.
And that's interesting. Did he mean, he meant switch to Windows Phone.
Right.
I think at the time he wrote it, they hadn't picked Windows Phone. Right. I could be wrong about that, but I thought... Or maybe this was when they announced it internally. I can't remember.
I think it was when they announced it, right? And he had to explain why they decided to jump.
Is there any chance he will get canned or will leave because he's not CEO?
Oh, I've seen speculation about that, too, saying because he didn't get the CEO, maybe he's not going to stick around either. I don't know. Hard to say.
That's interesting, yeah.
I think it's a homecoming. And I'll tell you, he's one guy who, you know, coming from Finland, we'll appreciate Seattle weather more than many.
Right.
It's warm here. The sun shines. I love it.
Yeah, he still has a house in Seattle. He never let the house go when he moved.
That guy must have traveled so much.
He never let go of his hopes, his dreams to come back one day.
I don't think his family moved, right? Didn't his family stay?
They stayed.
Really?
Yeah, wow. That's tough.
Wow. All right. Anything more to say about these transitions before we move on to another topic?
I wanted to talk about that Bloomberg story from today about it's kind of like an inside baseball story about what happened around Steve Ballmer leaving Microsoft. It's a story called Microsoft's Nadella Manages the Legacy of the Ballmer and Board Split. And the part of this story, it goes into all kinds of detail about, you know, what happened, why did Steve Ballmer actually end up leaving earlier than planned. But the part of the story that I thought is worth bringing up here is Dina Bass at Bloomberg's sources told her that Microsoft's board was split over whether or not to buy Nokia.
Oh.
And Gates did not want it and Ballmer did. And it became a very hotly contested topic, with Ballmer actually saying, if you guys don't do what I want, I'm going to leave the job as CEO.
Credible?
But they ended up doing it.
Credible?
She's pretty credible. I think she's, her sources are good. And I think this probably is true. And it also, it kind of creates a lot of questions about, okay, so the board did come around and ended up making the deal happen. They're going to buy Nokia's handset and services business. But Gates wasn't in favor. And initially, Nadella also was not in favor, according to the story, and then changed his mind in the end.
This is absolutely something that can be debated. I don't think anyone would look at this and say, yep, this is clearly the right thing to do. I think there's a lot of questions here.
There are. It just creates a lot of questions. Though now, in that story, they say the fact that Nokia was talking about doing an Android phone may have led to Microsoft's decision to buy them, which we actually speculated on the show last week.
And it's a little more credible with this phone.
It is.
Which must have been in development around that time frame.
Yeah. So, this kind of opens a whole other can of worms. You assume Gates is now on board with it since they ended up buying him. And Gates stays on the board, and he's Nadella's advisor in his new role.
And Ballmer left.
Ballmer left, even though they bought it.
Is it possible that they got the roles flipped and Ballmer said, if you buy Nokia, I'm out of here?
Yeah, right. I don't think so.
It's like, wait, you're buying it?
Well, her story also says Bates was dead set against it, too, and Bates is out.
Pretty
interesting.
We're still waiting because Nokia will become part of Microsoft only when China says it's okay.
And you saw these. Not just China, right? The Google Samsung
You
thing
saw
is
these
crazy.
Stories, yeah. Google and Samsung both.
I could see why they're deathly afraid of Microsoft and Nokia.
Well, you know what? The crazy part to me of this, it's an alleged report. It's not it's not a definite thing, right, but it says they're that Google and Samsung are against the deal because they're afraid Microsoft's going to basically charge exorbitant patent fees in the wireless space, which I don't know. I just think they're looking for an excuse to try to help derail or postpone this deal.
It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
It's not like they're a big competitor, but any competition, you know, these guys play to win.
Right. So, yeah, Microsoft has been saying all along they expect the Nokia transition to be approved and signed off on by the end of March. But now I wonder if that actually may be postponed a bit, given all this going
on. Especially since Vladimir Putin has announced he's annexing Nokia. I think that's going to change things considerably.
He's a crazy man. I think we should appease him, by the way. I think that's the right way to go.
Sure. Anytime a guy invades a country and says, I'm done,
historically, that has always worked out. Always worked out. I'm saying.
Just let them have it because you don't want war or anything.
Don't say anything.
And Putin says,
let them host the Olympics. It will be. I mean, the parallels are just.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Paul and I are a little history adults. You can ignore us. All right. Very interesting stuff. We will watch with interest. Now we replace the top story with from CEO search to who's next.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Right.
Honestly, who's out next?
I do like Reller, Penn and Reller. I do like that.
I know. I feel bad I wasn't able to come up with anything for that.
Oh, honey, this is the title of the show. You have you've named the show Penn and Reller. Well,
You know,
I'm stealing
it. Penn and Roller.
Honestly. Well, I love, honestly, you've been Scroogled, which was Paul's subtitle for his story. Good. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
He brought it all together.
Right. I don't think anyone got that, by the way.
I did. Paul, I am your biggest fan. I get all your jokes. I love your illustrations. I'm your biggest fan. I wake up in the morning. Lisa will tell you, I wake up in the morning and say, I just got to go see the super site for Windows. I got to see what Paul Thurrott's done today. What have you done today, Thurrott?
Just roll up the newspaper and start hitting me on the nose.
Thurrott, stop it. I've told you so many times. No more illustrations from Xbox games. Our show brought to you. Right. Can't wait for the Titanfall, captions and so forth.
Less than a week.
He's counting it down.
It's called, I'll preview it for you, Leo. It's called Titan Fail.
Next week's show, ladies and gentlemen. You already know the title. You can hear the contents later. Our show today brought to you by our friends at IT Pro TV. Tim and Don are great guys who stole everything from me, and I'm happy about it. How about that? Actually, they've been teaching, IT professionals what they need to know to get the certs they need to get a better job, to get a promotion, just to be better at IT. Whether it's CompTIA, the A+, the NetPlus, Security Plus, the CASP, Microsoft's MCSA and MTA certs, or the Cisco certs, they've added now these ISC squared? Is that how you say it? ISCC. Certs, they're working on those as well. If you go to IT Pro TV, you'll see what I mean, because basically after they've been teaching this for a long time, they came to the NAB show, I guess it was last year, we did a panel, and they kind of got inspired. They said, wow, I think it'd be kind of cool to do they were screensavers fans, and to do what Leo's doing at Twit, but teach people IT. So they've got a Roku channel, they stream live, they've got a chat room. I guess it's coming up. Server 2012. Paul, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Their set looks familiar, doesn't it? Some gears there. Actually, I like their set an awful lot. It's got a mix of the screensavers and Twit. They are really doing great work. They even bought, the TriCaster, and they use the same equipment we do, the same lighting and everything. And this has become a great way to learn without even knowing it. IT. Get it. So Tam and Don and their team of instructors really do a wonderful job. If you're looking for hundreds of hours of content for the certs that you need, 20 hours are added every week. Topics like network security, laptop repair, VLAN, subnetting, Every episode library is organized by exam objective, so it's very easy to say, oh, I need to work on this section and learn. It's fun, too. It's engaging. I really love how they do it. IT doesn't have to be boring. This is a fun, easy, entertaining way to learn. Now, they charge a single low monthly fee or yearly fee, normally $57 a month for everything, full run of the place, $570 for the entire year. But we got an offer for Windows Weekly listeners. If you go to itpro.tv/ww and you use the code WW50, there we go, WW50, you're going to get 50% off your subscription for the lifetime of your account. Not for the first month, the first year, but forever. That's $28.50 a month. That's less than one book. And you get it all. $285 a year. Tim and Don have done a great job. They're coming up to see us again. I'll introduce you when they come. I'm just really pleased to be partnering in with them. And I think thanks to their relationship with Twit, they've crossed the 1,000 subscriber mark, which is fabulous. But there are still a lot more people who want to learn IT. If that's you, watch on your computer, watch on your Roku, watch on your laptop or your tablet. itpro.tv/ww. Don't forget WW5. You can watch the sample materials. Probably a good idea. But if you decide to buy, use the offer code WW50. Learn without even knowing.
IT, get it?
Windows Weekly on the air. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about, of course, Microsoft, Windows, the shakeup. We're talking about Xbox. We're talking about Hadoop. And good news, update one has gone gold. RTM, they call it now,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So what does that mean? When are we going to get it? Why do we think, first of all, why do we think so?
Okay. So, you know, Microsoft's barely even acknowledging that this thing that we've been calling Windows 8.1 update one exists.
They said it, didn't they, once?
They said it finally in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress. Yeah. But and they actually talked about a few of the features there. But up until that point, they wouldn't even say that it existed. So, you know, asking them, did it RTM a couple days ago? Of course,
RTM? What are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. But I've talked to a few of my sources, and they said, yes, it has RTM'd. And so now what happens is a little more testing takes place, and then Microsoft hands that code off to OEMs so that they can put this update on new PCs and tablets that are coming out starting after April. And the time when we will get it, the Windows 8 users, or 8.1 users, I should say, is if you're an MSDN subscriber, April 2nd, says Paul Thurrott. That's what he said.
That disreputable fool.
That guy. I don't know if I believe it.
What does he know?
And then we've also both heard April 8th is when the everyday users will get it, and it will be pushed out through Windows Update on that date.
Everyday users. You know who you are.
Yeah, so maybe we should revisit what's
through
in
Windows
it.
Update.
I know. So what's in this thing? So this is the version of the update to Windows that's going to make Windows 8.1 work better with a mouse. Yay.
Gee, you would think Microsoft would be kind of past the point where they're making Windows work better with a mouse. Just seems a funny thing to say.
I think it's meant for people like me who still use Windows on a desktop.
Old-timers, yeah.
Right. Don't have a touch screen. It's like, yeah, you already can use Windows 8.1 with a mouse, but they're just going to make it a lot easier with right-click menus,
you'll be
contextual
so much
menus.
Happier
and
now.
Like
yeah.
By the way, tied to the expiration of XP, right?
Yes.
Oh,
right.
That makes sense.
They really
day.
Want people April using 8. Windows 8.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And what else are you going to get? You're going to get some changes to how apps, how do you describe that, Paul? You actually described it well. The bar that goes over the
apps. Yeah, it's a title bar, like a window title bar. Like you see in Windows, you know, normal Windows.
Right. A smaller footprint. So this version will work with 1 gig of RAM, 16 gigs of storage. So it'll work better on those really low end, cheap small tablets that Microsoft wants
bucks,
people to build.
You know, less.
Right. And then it's going to have the new IE enterprise mode, which will let businesses who've had trouble because they've standardized on IE 8 actually use IE 11, which is built into Windows. So it'll have this new enterprise compatibility mode. What else? On new PCs that do not have a touchscreen, supposedly it's going to boot to desktop by default, which is interesting.
So only if they don't have a touchscreen.
Right. But if you're a user who already has Windows 8.1 and you're going to move up to 8.1 update 1 and you don't have boot to desktop set as your default, nothing's going to happen. You're still going to have Metro as your default.
All right.
So, yeah, it's not a huge update. Just
it's
some
funny
niceties.
It's, it isn't. But in many ways, it kind of is, right? Like, it really isn't a big update. But it's kind of interesting to me how much attention this thing has gotten and how interested people are in it. Because ultimately, it's really not that big of an update.
It's a capitulation, except it's not, because now we know that it was only, what did he say? Only the, we had to get the novice users in line, and now we can go back to the old way of doing
things.
Who was it said that? I forgot.
Some guy on Reddit who...
Oh, that's right.
He's a nobody.
Did we ever identify him?
I think he works on Windows or has, but he's not somebody who probably... We don't believe he's somebody who actually had input or knowledge into the higher level.
It's funny. That came and went. This must have been the week I was off, but I wrote something rather scathing about that. And my problem with it is twofold. One is that it's not true that they planned this all along. That's complete There's no other nice way to say it. I mean, that's completely made up. This notion that we made Metro so we could later make the desktop a better place for power users is complete and utter nonsense. That's insane. That they may come back now and fix desktop because of the reaction to Windows 8 is fine, and that's great, and I welcome that as a desktop user. But to claim otherwise is absolutely crazy. I found that whole thing to be very disingenuous. I don't know. That whole thing rubbed me the wrong way.
The notion that they planned this all along.
The whole premise of it, yeah.
Yeah, it would be a very elaborate plan if that had been the plan.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's like a Clouseau movie or something. Not what happened.
No, really, we meant to do that.
Yeah, if you guys had just shut up and sucked it in, we would have, just revealed our master plan when Windows 9. Shut up. It's so made up.
Yeah.
So
it didn't feel real.
So if it is RTM'd, does that mean any minute? When does that mean? The idea of a gold master has changed a lot. You don't have to ship a disk to
gold.
The OEMs who will then, integrate it into their bill. Yeah. I mean, it's digital.
It's like a shipment plaque that's going on the wall at Dell to celebrate the release.
Yeah, it's digital. What am I doing here?
Windows 8.1 for workgroups or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It's not going to be instantaneous from what we hear. I think there's still some testing to be done, but otherwise... originally, I had heard they were targeting to push this out with the March patch Tuesday, which would be next week. And I guess they decided that was too soon. And they had to push it to the next because they want to do it via Windows Update.
Plus, you don't want to get in the way of Titanfall. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I know it was going to be on the same day, wasn't it?
Yeah, you don't want that.
We noticed that. Okay. I think you're right, it's a minor update, but the reason people are making a big deal is there is some meaning to be derived from the choices they've made. Is that a good way to put it?
Well, I think the primary takeaway needs to be that this really isn't about us or people that are using Windows today. I mean, it's really about new devices. It's about enabling these low-cost, low-end devices. It's letting Windows compete in that 16 gigabytes of storage space, which is where the entry level is on all tablets, except for Windows tablets, to run in only 1 gigabyte of RAM, where, say, maybe 2 gigs is probably the realistic minimum today. And by the way, the realistic minimum on Windows RT as well. And so that PC makers can sell traditional computers, desktops, laptops, Ultrabooks, whatever, and have the experience be what people expect. You turn on your computer, it boots to the desktop.
Yeah.
You right-click on stuff and a context menu appears.
I think this is the right thing to do. I really do.
I do too.
It is a capitulation, like you said. I mean, absolutely. And it's a reaction to the reaction that people had about Windows 8. It's not, this was not part of some measured plan. You know, like we knew this one was coming 2 years ago. It's nothing like that, but you know, it's necessary in some ways.
We reviewed the Lenovo Mix 2 yesterday and before you buy. Shannon Morse reviewed it. She liked it a lot, and we've seen prices as low as $199 for an 8-inch Windows Pro tablet.
Yeah, I saw that with at the Best Buy over the weekend.
At Best Buy.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be more of that, and I think that's the point.
That's amazing.
Once we get there, and then I'll have new things to complain about, because one of the things I've been looking at is, you know, if you think about mini tablets, and I won't go into this too deeply, but you know, an Amazon Kindle HDX or a Nexus 7,
you like iPad Dell, mini. Right? I mean, you love that.
And then you move to Windows tablets. You know, depending on what it is you want to do with those things, if it's reading, for example, the Kindle experience is dramatically worse on Windows than it is on any of those other platforms, and that's a real problem. And you could look at anything specific. I mean, Kindle is something I happen to care about. You may care about whatever, you know, Spotify or whatever the things are that you want to do. But that's this app issue is still a problem, because even in cases where Windows has the app, it's often less functional on Windows than it is elsewhere.
Well, and Shannon did note that it's a 1280 by 800 screen, so it's a little low. It's not a Retina.
And you're not going to get that.
Reading's not great on. Yeah, for $200, you know.
It's okay. I honestly, it's okay.
The resolution.
Yeah, right. I just kind of said that.
Honestly,
Leo, I like low res.
I was always told by my teachers, never say, you know, to be honest or to be frank. You know, sometimes people say that.
That means everything else you say is baloney.
Yeah. It's the wrong thing to say. Oh, now you're going to be honest. Oh, good. Okay. So that means.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Mark the time, folks.
Yeah. Now he's going to be honest. There is a migration tool for XP users. If you know, I was shocked yesterday on Security Now. Steve Gibson said, you know, this XP thing's overblown. It's fine. If you know what you're doing, it's fine. And I said, Steve, are you nuts?
He's really lightening up as he gets older.
You know, okay,
it's
I'll
like
tell you a couple of things.
Maybe.
First of all, yeah, security, eh. He uses XP, and so he doesn't want to stop.
Oh, so he's moved off of Windows 2000 finally.
Yeah, yes. And I think he's moving to 7 eventually, but he's using XP. But the other point I think he makes is good for if you know what you're doing, you can lock it down. Sure. But it's really important to understand that most people who are using Windows XP don't know what they're doing.
Oh, right. And tied to that is the fact that if you know what you're doing, that suggests a little bit of, I don't know, advanced usage kind of stuff.
Right.
And what you're going to discover is that a lot of the applications you want to run aren't going to work on XP anymore. And that may be for artificial reasons, but it's going to be the case.
So you both believe, and I think I do too, that it is time for 99% of you to get off XP and migrate.
Yeah.
Microsoft has got to just start handing out copies of Windows 8 and saying seriously.
Why not? If you're still using XP, do it as a as a charitable.
Yep.
But the people who are using it are the ones who couldn't even use Windows 8. A lot of them. And not because they aren't able to. It's because they want to keep their old hardware, right? Or they have a peripheral that won't work with Windows 7 or 8.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So even if they went out and gave away Windows 8 to people who are still on XP, it wouldn't help this situation for many of them.
XP is so old, like Amish people can use it now. Like, I don't understand what the, like, sort of general purpose usage of
XP. XP, okay for Sabbath. There's a whole marketing campaign.
It's almost not electronic.
Yeah. It's like the button of operating systems.
You have to like rub two sticks together to get the PC to come on. And then.
That's so sacrilegious of us. Here we are, Ash Wednesday, and we're acting.
I know.
Like terrible.
Bad day to make the joke.
I know. I'm going straight to hell.
You are.
That's okay.
Mark Penn is going to be standing right next to you.
That's right. That's where all the interesting people and beer is. So
I heard that.
Right. Warm beer.
It's warm, so I'm sticking with porters, you know. But
right. English beers.
English beer, stout, yep. So tell me about this XP. And there's a nag that goes along with it, too, this XP migration tool. What's the story there? Mary Jo has this one.
Yes, right? I can tell you guys about it. So I think this migration tool is a version of Laplink. Remember Laplink?
What? It's yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that Microsoft's going to give away for free to try to encourage people to move their files. And then they're also saying if you actually have to move applications, you can step up and use a paid version of Laplink that's going to be offered for a discount to try to help you guys get up. No, they're still around.
Wow.
Yeah. And to make it extra annoying, although this isn't super annoying, starting March 8th, which will be 1 month ahead of the deadline when support ends, your PC, if you're running XP, is going to start giving you a message on the 8th of every month saying, hey, you're running a dangerous operating system.
What?
Yeah, only once a month on the 8th.
It's kind of crazy,
you can check a box and say, I never want to see this little message again. But yeah.
It doesn't actually say dangerous.
No, yeah, it's trying to get people aware. You know, and we think everybody knows this is the end. And I can tell you, based on mail I got week,
yeah.
There are still people out there who don't know.
Yeah, no, they don't know. The people who aren't using XP know. But the reason people are still using XP is because they're not wired into Windows Weekly.
They're not
Weekly.
Possibly as connected as the rest of us. Yeah.
But I do, you know, I say it on the radio show. I spend a lot of time talking about it because I figure that's reaching the kind of broad mass of users. And I bet you know, more than half of the people listening to the radio show are still using XP.
I went to the dentist last week, and they run I don't know what it was written in, obviously, but what it looks like to me is a Windows 3X era VB type program in Windows XP.
Right.
And that's their whole – it's everything, right?
They can't
when you
move.
See your dental x-rays, it's what it's on. It's got some kind of a billing and scheduling system and
they
whatever.
They spent a lot of money on that in 1989, and you can't expect them to move.
Yeah, so I did think briefly about asking about it, and then I decided I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole.
You don't want to
Let's
know.
Face it, when you're at the dentist, you want to get out of there anyway.
And,
so.
And they would say, well, you sound like you know what you're talking about. Can you tell me more?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
Yeah. WindowsXP.com.
I don't know anything about that, no.
No, and one of the emails I got this week, I think people are still hoping against hope there's going to be a last-minute reprieve, right? Like, they're like, you know what? 29% of PCs out there in terms of usage share are still running XP. So Microsoft, at the last minute, it's going to be like a game of chicken. They're going to come up against that, and they're going to say, all right, we're going to extend it.
I think that's possible.
But they're not.
Is that not possible?
No. They're not going to. I really don't think
so. I love the characterization. It is like a game of chicken. They're standing on the railroad track. There is a train bearing down on them. And you're saying they're
like an episode of Davy and Goliath.
It is.
Like his foot's kind of caught in the track.
Oh, man. Help me, Davy. Yeah. I can't. I'm going to go get I'll go get the fireman. No, the train's coming too fast. Help.
Yep, typical Windows XP user right there.
Yeah.
So really, how hard is this going to be? It's going to be hard.
Another one that they think, another thing they think that we should bring up, which is also not true, is, Microsoft's going to revoke support. But you know what? There's still going to be somebody out there who's going to sell me patches under the table or something.
Sure.
Yes.
It's like,
there'll be a brisk black market in Windows patches.
Yeah, right.
A guy will call you from India saying, Microsoft says that you're using XP and I have patches for you.
Actually, that would be a great scam.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Somebody
will
we
do can
it.
Protect your computer. Just give me your login.
It's already happening. You know, they call up saying, I'm from Microsoft and you've got problems. And just run the event viewer. See all those red X's? Oh, but we could give me access to your computer and $300 and I'll fix it. And I guarantee you the next step is, I see you're running XP. I'm calling from Redmond, Washington. And I will fix it for you.
Actually, with that accent, you could be calling for from Redmond, Washington.
I shouldn't use that accent. People get mad at me. But that's what the guy sounds like. So, sorry. And I think absolutely you're going to see that.
I think you're right.
Steve poo-poos the idea, the notion, which I have, that hackers are just waiting till April 9th to release a wide array of Windows network worms designed to infect your computer without your knowledge. He says, no.
It would be kind of amazing.
It would.
No. He says, no, that's not. Hackers, they're not going to do that.
I don't feel like something is going to fall apart on April, whatever the date is, 8th or 14th or whatever.
Right.
If these people had these incredible XP hacks, I don't understand why you'd sit on them. I mean, just use them now. It's not like anything. It's not like the firewalls turn off on, you know, in April. I mean, whatever vulnerabilities XP has, it's going to have that day too. I mean, it's
well,
not.
No, that's and that's what exactly Steve's point is that, you know, firewalls will protect you against most of this. By the way, the other thing, and we really should underscore this, and everybody here knows this, but tell your friends, it is absolutely the case that the best way to mitigate this is to not run as an administrator. If you're running XP, please run as a standard user, limited user. Don't run as an administrator.
You're asking for common sense from people that are running XP, Leo.
It's too hard to install my updates if I
You could
that.
Save your, you could prevent most electronic attacks just by exerting some common sense. I mean, I
well, that's his other point. Is I'm not going to do anything stupid. I don't run as administrator. These are all good points. It's just that the people who are running XP aren't listening to Steve Gibson or Paul Thoreau.
No, these are PCs sitting there with no password that are running as administrator that are connected to the internet all the time when people are gone overnight. And I'm sure a big percentage of them are already zombies or whatever. Yeah. But
we had this study. I can't remember who it was from, but of the critical patches in 2013 that Microsoft shipped out on Patch Tuesday. 100% of the Internet Explorer exploits would be mitigated by running as a limited user. 92% would be running of the general exploits, the operating system exploits. 92% would be mitigated. So you get rid of almost all the problems just running as a limited user.
It's slightly inconvenient. I mean, I don't understand why you would advocate such a thing.
Yeah. So Laplink.
Nice.
Who was the guy?
We're already going back in time here. Why not?
Laplink.
Do you remember who the PR guy? WordPerfect 5.1 on there for the safest word processing.
The PR guy for Laplink was so good. He had the best party tickets to Comdex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tall, redheaded guy.
Yeah, what was it? You guys remember him? Was it, Mark Epley? Was that his name?
It was Mark Epley.
Mark Epley. Boy, that's weird that that's still stuck in there.
I don't have any more. I've gotten a lot of Laplink stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mark was kind of, the best PR guy practically in the business for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Was he the PR guy? No, he was the president. But
he was both.
He did everything, though. He was, like, very hands-on. And,
Well, they're back, baby.
They're back. Yep.
Trying to see what
And they will sell you a pro version if you want to buy it.
Is there a cable? Does it come with a cable? A
I would say, by
cable?
The way, I normally advocate. Is there a cable? No. I do normally advocate most people, again, with common sense, can get along with Microsoft Security Essentials or whatever they call it now in Windows 8, Windows Defender. And I don't really see any reason for most people to buy a security suite typically. If you're going to be running XP, I would say at the very least you need to get some third-party antivirus, anti-malware thing going. Like I at the very least do that, you know, whatever it is, Panda, Webroot, something. Like you get something. I'm not saying you have to pay for it, but
the Security Essentials is going to be kept up to date, but it's not as good, you think, as a...
I think at this point I just wouldn't be looking at Microsoft for the support. I think this is when I would start looking around. I mean, I wouldn't be running XP, but if I was, Leo, I don't usually run XP, but when I do.
I'm calling Mark Epley.
I get Laplink.
Laplink. I want it to come with a parallel cable.
Yep.
Remember it would come in the box?
Sure. Yep.
The Laplink cable. Wow. That's a blast from the past.
That is.
It's funny how you get that. I mean, I can't believe I dredged his name up.
I know. That's amazing.
Well, it's there, though. It's still, you know. Yep. Yeah. And actually, I think as you get older, you do remember that stuff and nothing that happened today.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Breakfast, no good. But
yeah. But yeah. Remember that guy? Remember Comdex? So any other advice?
Okay. More porridge, Leo.
I like soup.
I like eggs.
They're soft. They can gum them. It would be funny if I weren't right there. Any other advice for people or people with friends running XP?
Oh, God. don't be so cheap. I don't know.
It's not, I mean, but again, it's not always cheap, right? Yeah. Like some people are stuck on it.
It isn't that your dentist's office, well, it's cheap in the sense that
you know what, though? Okay. So actually, I would say in their case, because I looked at the stuff pretty specifically, the chances of them, you know, installing the software successfully in Windows 8 or whatever and moving everything over is probably slim.
Nil.
They
Nil.
Need help with this.
Nil.
This
they need to buy a whole new dental office help. Management
they
system.
Need,
yeah.
And they, right. And frankly, if that stuff isn't connected to the outside world, which it might not be, who cares? I mean, maybe it's fine. I don't know. I you know, there's something to be said for something that works, you know, and not screwing with it.
I wonder if there's, I mean, there certainly are third-party opportunities here. If you're Barracuda or you make one of those big hardware devices, you could make the box that's for Windows XP LANs that will keep them safe.
Or, it's,
we will intercept all attacks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my inbox right now. There's somebody who listens to Windows Weekly who said, just so you know what we're talking about, I work for a large Fortune 50 company, yep. and we are running XP.
Yep.
We are just about to start our Windows 8 rollout. Not 8.1, not Windows 7, Windows 8. And so there are a lot of people who are in this boat who aren't, you know, just people dragging their feet. Their companies tell them what they can run.
And remember, did I mention the guy from Diebold who came by and told me that they were all running Windows XP? And remember, we had thought maybe it's Windows Embedded. And he said, no, it's Windows XP 4 Embedded. Yeah, we talked about this last week. And those will have to be patched. But in that case, Diebold, I'm sure, has a volume licensing agreement. How long do those patches continue for?
The people who have the special contracts?
Yeah, the extended.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you can keep paying Microsoft and they'll keep taking your money, you know, and they'll cover you.
Right. So that's the thing. They're doing the patches.
It's got to be the weirdest part of Microsoft right there.
Right. They're doing them, but they're trying to wean people off of XP. So they're saying, we're going to make it really expensive for you, but we'll keep patching
it
if you
need it. Six figures expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to have a volume contract. Then you have to have software assurance, I think. And then you have to pay for the patches on top of that. So it's a lot of money.
But there's always the Windows Enterprise Edition.
Yeah.
That's right.
We threw in this item because it's about Windows. But it's interesting for our business listeners out there because up until now, if you wanted the enterprise SKU of Windows, which is the highest end SKU, you had to have what we were just talking about. You had to have software assurance. And that's an add-on payment program that you pay, and if you're a volume licensee, it guarantees that you're going to get the automatic upgrades to certain products for somewhere between 2 and 3 years, however long you're covered. So people are always griping because they said, I want to buy enterprise, but I don't want to be a software assurance subscriber. So now Microsoft's saying as of March 1st, you can do that, and you'll be able to buy Windows Enterprise without having software assurance. I had a lot of people say, thank goodness, finally, I've asked this for years. So this applies to Windows 7 and Windows 8. It's another option. If you need all of the high-end features baked into your Windows SKU, you can now get it without having software assurance.
Yeah.
Yay.
One other question on the Windows thing, and then we'll move on. On the Windows XP thing, and we'll move on. And this for Paul. And I've gotten this question a number of times. Windows Home Server, are they going to...
Yeah, jeez. Are they going to what?
Patch that, or will there be patches for?
So I'm not sure what the support life cycle is for that one. I mean that
it's not XP. Yeah, that was 7, right?
Yeah, actually, the first version of Home Server, I got to really think here, was based on.
Was it XP?
I think it was Windows Server 2003, which is the XP version of Server. You know, that product line has kind of evolved. So there was a 2.0 version that got rid of the drive space stuff or whatever they were calling that. I forget the name of it. And then they moved on to
Slacker.
Essentials. Yeah.
Stacker. Not Slacker.
Stacker. Nice.
I remember the Stacker.
Yep. Yeah, we finally got rid of real mode in Windows Home Server 2.0. Yeah, but, you know, they have an Essentials server product now that is,
that's what
I'd say, ill-used. I don't think it's used very frequently. I think the world has kind of moved on. You know, the companies that kind of need in-house servers are not the small businesses right. anymore. You know, they're right. just the biggest companies, really, that companies that are building private clouds. And
I think fewer and fewer people are doing home servers, too, that the whole NAS thing has kind of died out thanks to the cloud, right?
Right. I've evolved along with that. I still have I have an essential server that I still use. Actually, I use it every day, as it turns out. But it just kind of sits there. You know, it is a wood, right? It's a server. It backs up to itself to other drives. It uses the storage spaces technology that's in the modern Windows now, which is nice for duplication. It backs up to a separate disk as well. It backs up to a cloud service, which is also good for offsite stuff. It does all that, but it's kind of heavy. And the way that I work now is my day-to-day stuff kind of goes through OneDrive now. And I don't really, I don't know. I think I'm at the point now where I don't really actually need it. And it's kind of there just almost out of tradition, you know. And last year I put next to it a Windows 8 PC, which I kind of used in a very similar fashion, but with a lot less storage. And that's mostly for media and stuff like that. And that way it works fine too, you know, but I'm thinking this year I'm probably going to be moving away from that stuff. And that probably pains people, probably in the same way that, you know, the move away from, say, Media Center pains certain people. But I just think it's a reflection of how the world's changed, that holding the stuff on hard disks in our house, in this case, or in our small business or whatever, is not necessarily the right way to do things.
Yeah, nobody's doing it anymore. By the way, thanks to DataLore, the end of life on Windows Home Server 2011 is April 12th, 2016.
2 years, yeah.
Got plenty of time.
So that's the second one, though. So I could be wrong, but I think that's the 2008 version of Windows Server. So I think the original version of Windows Home Server, I should look that up before I say that to be sure, but I think the original version of Windows Home, I don't think that's the original version.
Oh, okay.
Maybe someone could tell me if I'm wrong about that.
Okay. By the way, just one more point on about Steve Gibson, and then we can move on.
Yep.
One of the reasons, this is the one that really blew my mind. One of the reasons is that he's not moving on is because he never was able to install Service Pack 3. Remember that? The Service Pack 3, a lot of times people got stalled out. So he says, that's fine. I've got Service Pack 2, Windows XP Service Pack 2.
That's incredible.
He's not even running.
Wow.
He's a brave man.
Yeah. Well, so I looked this up. So the original version of Windows Home Server was just called Windows Home Server, and it was based on Windows Server 2003, R2.
Yeah,
It came out in 2007. So Windows Home Server 2011 was the second version, and that was based on Windows Server 2008, possibly R2, based on the timing. And so that was obviously a more modern version.
Right.
It didn't have that.
That's why it's going to be updated for a few more years.
Yeah. So the original version of Windows Home Server is possibly not supported anymore already.
We're getting that popping on your lineup a lot now, right, Paul. I don't
want me to plug and replug.
Well, let's try that. What the hell? And while you're doing that, I'll do an ad for Audible. How about that? That's a good way to pause, and Paul will want to get it fixed because he loves talking about audible.com. Paul and I are both major fanatics of audiobooks from audible.com. What is there to say about it? First of all, it's 150,000 titles, the best stuff in the world, not just new books, too, and all the new books come out. Dick Francis's newest. Oh, no, that Bloodsport's not new. That's an older one. That's a great one about horse racing, and I love Dick Francis. Learn to Talk Like Ted. That's my buddy Carmine Gallo. That's brand new. Remember Carmine from The Money Machine on Tech TV? The newest Harlan Coben. There's classics. The Wizard of Oz. It's the 75th anniversary of the movie. Listen to Anne Hathaway performing the L. Frank Baum classic. New one from Richard Dawkins. I'm a big fan of his. The Greatest Show on Earth, The Evidence for Evolution. But there's also classic science fiction. I know a lot of you are science fiction fanatics. I certainly am. And a huge range of science fiction available on Audible.com. They have their own recording program called Audible Frontiers, where they're recording some of the great classic science fiction that's never been recorded. Stuff from Isaac Asimov and Robert Heinlein. this is an, you know, if you've got a kid who's now getting into science fiction, as I do, this is an opportunity to get them listening to the great books like Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Read by, and this is, these are modern recordings. So they're, you know, Scott Brick does, he's one of their best readers. So this is really, really fantastic. I, Robot from Asimov. The Heinlein stuff is all here.
Terrible movie of the same name.
Yes. Well, you know, I just found out the story of that, by the way. It wasn't called I, Robot. It wasn't really based on I, Robot.
Well, no, there's nothing in it that has anything to do with the story at all.
Or right. Story. But they weren't able to get it made until they changed the name to iRobot, and then they got money. Even though it has nothing to do with Isaac Asimov.
That's
Isn't that horrible? All I can say is Audible is the place to get great books. Now, we're going to arrange for you to get your first one free, because the second thing that comes up is people, I don't know, I like to read books. I don't know if I can listen. Will it be the same? Will I have to, will I incorporate, you know, will I hear it? And by the way, for those of us who love audiobooks, yes, you will. It's better than reading because it really becomes a movie in your mind. But I understand you might want to try it. So we're going to arrange your first book free. When you go to audible.com/windows, you'll be signing up for the gold account. That's a book a month, but their first month's free. Your first book is free. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. You can cancel in the first month, pay nothing, keep those books, keep that book and the papers. But I think you're not going to cancel. Now, Paul always has a good recommendation. What are you listening to on Audible these days?
So, by the way, you mentioned Carmine earlier, and what my head flashed to was Carmine Raguso.
Oh, my.
So whatever, from Laverne and Shirley was the first thing.
Yeah, sure. I remember him.
The big Ragu. Yeah. That's not what I'm listening to.
Penny Marshall does have a pretty good book on Audible, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm still listening to the Daniel Suarez book, the new one, Influx.
Isn't that great? Oh.
If you have not, I guess the thing I would just reiterate is, if you have not listened to or read any of Daniel Suarez, please start with Demon, and then you can thank me later, because it is literally one of the best books I've ever read. It's amazing. And the sequel is, crazily enough, even better. So,
And you will have to read both, because you don't...
You'll be very happy.
Yeah. No, I agree. So you think better than Influx?
Yeah. Influx is great. And I actually have to say, I was, you know, when I first started reading it, I was thinking, oh, man, this is not going anywhere. What's happening? It's way better than I thought it was going to be originally, and it's actually quite good. I like the twist and stuff, and I like the whole premise of it. It's great, but I there's something about Demon. It's absolutely a classic. It's a Crichton style class. It's a classic. It's just a classic.
Well, there you go. I've got about 18 books you can. You only get one for your first book. I think Demon is a very good choice. Daemon. Jeff Gerner, who reads it, does a marvelous job. Highly recommended. Somebody was mentioning House of Cards. You know, the book House of Cards is based on is also on Audible.
Oh, that's interesting.
Michael Dobbs' House of Cards. It's about it. Now,
well, this is
the British one.
British.
Yeah. It's the original House of Cards. Francis Urquhart, not Francis Underwood. I think this is in Swedish.
That's funny.
Wait a
minute. So, by the way, I've heard this TV series is fantastic as well.
Oh, you got to watch it. You ever watched it?
If you're familiar with, I've not watched the British one, but if you're familiar with the Game of Thrones books, you know that everyone was freaking out when on the last season on HBO when they had the Red Wedding. It's like, guys, you know, this was in the book like 8 years ago. Like, this is not a new development, you know. But I guess without giving away anything for people who are watching it, you know, there's a major development, let's say, that occurs in the first episode of the new season of House of Cards this year.
Yes.
That was in season one of the original House of Cards.
Oh, really?
So I guess if we had been paying attention, we would have known that had happened.
The only thing with the original one, sometimes people get thrown by the accent. So it's a little hard to understand.
What the heck was that?
Well, it's just a little tough. I realize.
No, you're listening to
the Swedish version, I think.
Oh, okay.
So, let me see if I can find an English language. You know what? I think they only have the Swedish version.
That is incredible.
That can't possibly.
I thought I was having a stroke.
That can't possibly. Yes, they only have the Swedish or Danish. I'm sorry, Danish version.
That
so.
Is
My apologies. Unless you speak Danish, in which case, what a boon Audible has become for you. Audible.com/windows. Demon. Maybe stick with Demon. That's in English. Audible.com/windows. Enjoy your first book free on us.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, those English accents on that original House of Cards were so strong.
But a lot of those English shows.
I'm just teasing. Yeah, throw on the captions. What was the movie that was based not on House of Cards, but. I do this every time to you.
You're talking about the British political thing that became a movie in the U.S., but was a series in the UK.
A great movie with
James the British, the American version had the guy who's going to play Batman. What's his name?
Him.
That guy. He was in it.
The guy who's going to play Batman. Google that. It'll all come.
No, you know, he's a famous Ben Affleck.
Ben
Affleck was in the American movie version of the thing you're talking about.
Oh, really? Was he? In the Loop.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so we're all on a completely different pages right now. Meanwhile, Mary Jo Foley's playing
State of Play. It was called State of Play is what I'm thinking.
Oh, I have to watch that. State of Play.
That's a good State of Play.
State of Play.
I am.
It's a great British thriller, you know, political thriller that in this case turned into an American movie. Sorry.
That's so funny because I was thinking of In the Loop, which is based on a British TV series that was called The Thick of It.
Oh, The Thick of It, yeah.
Yeah, and then In the Loop has Gandolfini in it, which is... Okay. Anyway, a couple of weird digressions there. That's In the Loop. Okay, moving on.
This is like a recorded version of what it's like to get old.
I like soup. Where are my pants?
I like eggs. Matlock.
Time for Matlock.
This is pretty much... By episode 700, this is all we're going to be talking about.
Mary Jo will keep us on track.
I will.
She'll say, Grandpa, time for your nap. Matlock!
I'll say Hadoop.
Ah!
We'll just start twitching.
We do have a little Enterprise-a-palooza, starting with Office.
Yeah, it was a big week this week for Enterprise news on the Microsoft front. They had two of their big Enterprise conferences. One is the SharePoint 2014 conference. And before your eyes begin to glaze over, there's actually a lot of really cool news at this thing. They talked a lot about how they mostly actually talked about Office 365, even though it was called the SharePoint conference. And they described the way that they're evolving Office 365 to incorporate Yammer, which is their enterprise social networking technology, more deeply into the suite. So right now, Yammer is already in Office 365. It's something separate. But the long range, or not even that long range, the later this year plan is to take to blur the lines with Exchange, SharePoint, and Yammer and combine all of those things. So if you're a customer, you're going to start feeling less like you're in Exchange or you're in SharePoint or you're in Yammer, and you're just going to feel like, hey, I'm in Office 365. And one way they're going to do that is they've created this new app that is codenamed Oslo. And the reason it's called Oslo is the team that developed it is in Oslo. They are the fast search and transfer team that Microsoft bought back in 2008. And this Oslo app, if you know what Flipboard looks like, it looks like Flipboard, except it has business information in all the boxes.
I like how Flipboard looks. That's a nice UI.
I know, right? Yeah. So I have some screenshots on my site of what this thing looks like, but if you're in Oslo, you start to see things like your Q3 planning or topics that people are talking about inside your company, or test results, or all different kinds of things, kind of in card form.
Tree. That's cool.
I know, isn't that crazy? This shows you all the interrelationships between you and your documents and things people are sharing with you and things you're sharing with them, and it gets a lot more visual and a lot more intuitive in terms of how you're going to interact.
Does this make sense, though, when you look at this? Does this look useful?
You know, I'm like the last person who should judge this.
You use a notepad.
I use notepad, yeah. And I'm an office of one person. So like to me, this doesn't have a lot of relevance. But people in big companies who saw this, they were like, wow, that actually could be really helpful because I have all these different people I interact with. And, you know, people are becoming more accustomed to things like Yammer and Facebook and the idea of a news feed. And I think for them, this makes a lot of sense as far as how you would start looking at your information from SharePoint and Exchange and Yammer.
So when do we get this?
Sounds like late summer. They're saying second half of this year if you're in Office 365.
Yeah, I heard the very end of the year.
End of the year? Okay.
I don't quite understand this stuff either because I've not experienced it hands-on. But one of the things they told me about it that I thought was kind of compelling is that if you think about like the typical workflow today for us and for people who consider themselves information workers or whatever, you know, you get up in the morning and you go to work and you open your email. And the way that email works is the most recent emails are at the top and you kind of deal with those first, even though there might be emails further down in the list that are more important, you know, and they're not really organized in any way that makes any sense. They're kind of last in, first out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, the point behind Oslo in particular is to surface information that's meaningful to you based on way more than just email, but all of these interactions that you have, both with people inside the company and outside of the company. And, you know, the presentation is nice or it's interesting or different, but I think the big point of it is to surface the stuff that's the most meaningful in a way that's visually not just bigger, but, you know, more, bigger for lack of a better word, you know, that you deal with that stuff first. Right. And, They kind of talk about it as like the future of work or whatever, and it's cute, but it seems pretty compelling actually.
Yeah,
more compelling than say something like InfoPath, you know? Right.
The way they're doing it, right, is they're using FAST technology, which is intercompany search plus things, algorithms from Bing. And so they're combining these things so that it gets smarter and starts to know you more and knows what's important to you, right?
The thing that's most interesting to me in a way, because I never really understood it, and I still kind of don't, is that these three kind of features that they're talking about or apps or however they're, you know, going to be exposed are all sort of Yammer ideas, right? They're things that Yammer had just for Yammer, but now they're blowing them out to all of Office 365. And that the kind of the cool thing about having an Office 365 that may not be immediately obvious to people is that when you used to just have on-premise servers, you would make features for Exchange and you'd make features for SharePoint, you'd make features for Link. And you'd have a couple of cross-platform things, but you couldn't do a lot of that stuff because there's no way to know that these people had any two or three of the servers. But now you get them all. And so now they can look at this a little more agnostically and say, let's just make Office 365 features that, you know, grab from here, grab from here, grab from here. And so this is the first stab at that kind of thing. It's a little vague to me because I haven't experienced it firsthand, but it's potentially very, very interesting.
It is.
The devil's in the details though, right?
It Execution. Is.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Right. How this
I'm not
going to
give an award or anything yet, but it looks interesting.
Yeah. There are a lot of implications for this about what do you do if you're somebody who uses Exchange or SharePoint on premises, right? Because a lot of these capabilities can't come to on-premises servers because they're so deeply tied in with Bing. So if you're a customer who wants to have Exchange or SharePoint on-prem, Microsoft did also say this week that you're going to have to wait till 2015 for the next release of those servers and that a lot of the social stuff is just not going to be in there. So if you care about that, you're probably best off starting to incorporate bits from the cloud, like some of the OneDrive for business stuff and maybe also Yammer, which you can now get as a subscription. And kind of add it in piecemeal because they're basically warning people who want to run on-prem that you're going to start being left out and we're going to start leaving out more and more features as we come out with the on-prem releases.
Yeah. The other thing I heard this week about this stuff that I thought was just kind of opened my eyes again a little bit to the possibilities here was for years people have been talking about email as kind of the low-hanging fruit of cloud, right? That if you're going to move a company to the cloud, let's do email first, you know, because email's obvious. Everyone uses email, you know. As it turns out, email's kind of a hairball, right? Email has a lot of risk. You know, the email migration is very difficult. And that's why this new OneDrive for Business standalone service offering is so interesting, because now what they're saying is actually, as it turns out, moving people to individual cloud storage is way easier and maybe should be the first thing that businesses do in this move to the cloud, you know. And, you know, instead of putting hard drives in your data center and provisioning more and more storage and handling all that stuff for your users, just put it in the cloud. You know, let Microsoft handle it for you. And I guess one of the features in SharePoint 2013 Service Pack 1 is the ability to integrate with that system. So from the same dashboard, you're managing storage, but it's storage in the cloud. It's your storage, but it's in the cloud. Kind of just a cloud-first approach. And I think that gives businesses that maybe were on the fence about the cloud sort of an incentive to move to the cloud and understand what the advantages could be there.
We've seen Cortana, and it's not a young lady. It's just a circle.
It's a circle. It's a just bouncing
a, it's just a circle.
It's an 8-bit Cortana.
Yeah. Yeah. I had hopes, given how shapely, I want to say this appropriately, Cortana was in Halo, but no.
Sure.
Microsoft wisely decided to make it look just like Siri, basically. Does it work just like Siri? I guess we won't know.
Yeah. There was a video this week that leaked showing, yeah. It's interesting, you can't hear the voice in this video because that just wasn't part of the video clip of Cortana. But yeah, it gave us a few indications of how this is going to work. And they ask you a bunch of questions, you know, what around your preferences of things in terms of, you know, how do you like to interact with people, or what kinds of things would you do in this situation to basically get to start to know you, ask you what nickname do you want to be known as, and then it takes it from there. We don't know everything it's going to let you ask yet, but what we do know is this is going to be built into Windows Phone 8.1, so we're going to see it pretty soon, probably at Build.
And this is from some rumor site, unleashthephones.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to someone about this and was told that this circle UI is correct. And so there's always the possibility that this is obviously fake or whatever. Right. But
well, it's a good somebody fake told if it's me a fake, you know?
this is what it looks like.
Yeah, you have to have a Microsoft account. Sorry, you need to sign into your Microsoft account before I can do anything for you. And of course, he doesn't want to, because then it would identify him.
Right.
I'm absorbing the entire.
See, I would have seen that and signed in immediately.
Yeah.
I'm Paul Theroux. And how are you doing? Nice to see you.
Somewhere back in Redmond, someone would be like, "Don't."
I wish there were audio in this. Why can't we hear it? I want to hear what Cortana sounds like. Before we get started, I'd like to know.
Yeah, I'd like to know you a little bit. Would you like something to drink? Would you like to slip into something?
Do you like to cook?
Right.
It literally asked you.
How do you feel about religion?
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to do?
If you were a food, what would you be?
It is. It's very much like that. It's the Barbara Walters of voice recognition. Thanks. That helps a lot. I'll get a few suggestions ready to start things out. Try find recipes for ants on a log. That's literally the suggestion.
That's a crazy request.
Yeah.
Yum.
Must be it's probably a British dessert.
What do I have to do this afternoon? Nothing, baby. You're perfect just the way you are.
So very Siri-like. Is this based on Tell Me? Do we know? Or is it internal?
We know that there's going to be more. It's going to use the voice technology that already is part of Windows Phone.
Which is
kind
based
of take
on
it
Tell Me.
Up
yeah.
a step.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But it's also using our second mention on the show, Satori, which is a knowledge repository that's inside of Bing. Right. So this is all that machine learning technology and how Cortana will be able to learn and adapt based on things it starts to know about you and your schedule and your calendar.
This is very Google Now. This is not Siri. This is more Google Now than anything.
Isn't it kind of like a combo almost? It's like Siri plus Google Now, at least in the concept.
There's some stuff. For instance, Siri asks, what do you want to be called, as Cortana does, and we'll call you by name. Google doesn't do that.
Microsoft doesn't get a lot of credit for stuff because the truth is, they had all these kind of pieces in place for a long time. It's just that they haven't done a good job of bringing them together. You know, you can do plain English things in, the Outlook email application, you know, when you're making a schedule or something. And so if you think about interacting with someone where you say, you know, what am I doing today? You're really asking about your calendar and your schedule and all that kind of stuff. And I think that stuff's just kind of been around for a while. I mean, at Microsoft, you know, so Google has, you know, Google Now and Apple has Siri, but I do think it's closer to the Google Now stuff. Yeah, the kind of plain English style, just bringing it
and
together.
And all the AI stuff wanting to know about you so it can, you know. Siri doesn't, like, interrupt and say, hey, you have an appointment at 3 o'clock. It's going to take you an hour to get there. You better leave now. That's Google Now.
Yeah, Google Now is in a different direction. It's very, it can be very obtrusive in a way and kind of scary prescient, you know.
With Siri, can you say to it, wake me up at 7 a.m. tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, so this has that too.
And it's that kind of plain English thing, right? I mean, people seem to be amazed by this kind of stuff.
It's not that hard. It really isn't. By the way, we forgot to show the InfoPath funeral. I apologize, Joe. Yeah, there you go. That's the end of InfoPath.
Yeah, that was at the SharePoint conference. I said, Steve's enterprise guys know how to have fun.
Well, there's nothing like a funeral to really...
That's right. For InfoPath.
It's like an outtake from Star Wars Episode 1.
It is.
They're monks in robes, and that's Joel Olsen's Twitter from March 3rd.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is literally every single person that's ever used InfoPath in one room. And by the way, and twice as many people who actually understand what it's for.
Yeah. No, come on.
Nah, a lot of people use it and care.
It's an enterprise thing. You just wouldn't understand, Paul.
And we don't know how they're going to. We don't know how they're going to replace it yet either. They said they were going to tell everybody at the conference, and instead they said, "You know what? We're going to ask you guys and see what you think we should do."
Oh God! That'll work.
Open source it.
What could possibly go wrong? Skype for Outlook.com. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
So, I don't mean to go off on a rant here, but
oh, good.
Uh oh.
last year, Microsoft enabled this functionality. So when you folks call me.
Oh, this is the one where everything rings. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the places it rings is in Outlook.com in a web browser window, because that's how I do my email. If you're lucky enough to have a SkyDrive or now a OneDrive tab or window open, it will also ring in that window. It's hilarious. It's
ring everywhere.
Replicates across every open window you have. It's really funny. The problem is, until, I don't know, 2 days ago, whenever this feature went live, if you answered the call in Skype for the Windows desktop, which is what I use now, or the Metro version, or on your phone, or wherever else, that Outlook.com version never stopped ringing. Never. In fact, I tested it because, it's got to stop sometime. No, it just keeps going. It rings. It rings until it makes you insane how often it rings. And the thing I didn't understand was first of all, they just enabled this feature without really kind of any fanfare at all. And there was no way to customize it. You couldn't say, don't answer, or, you know, there was nothing you could do about it. And so they fixed it finally. I've been complaining about this for months.
Oh, years.
And I checked how long it's been. They enabled this feature in April 2013 in the UK, and then sometime over the summer here. And so because I am the idiot that I am, I'm sure I installed it on day one. But I literally, a week ago, decoupled my Skype ID from my Microsoft account so I would not hear this anymore, because it is so annoying.
So annoying.
And I spent weeks. I mean, people would call me on Skype. And over here, one of my 21 devices over here is like, bzz, bzz. And so if Mary Jo and I were chatting maybe in the, you know, the text messaging part of it, or, you know, Raphael sent me a file. Every time anyone sent me anything, something over here was like, bzz, bzz, every time.
I hate it when that happens. Yeah.
This is how you make people crazy.
Yeah.
So I think the final insult was somehow, I don't know why this guy did this, and I won't call out his name, but somebody from Skype actually jumped into a conversation I was having on Twitter with Raphael and some other people and said, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. There's nothing wrong with Skype. Could you give us a specific example? And I was like, are you kidding me? Seriously? Like, the kind of gall of that. This thing has been broken for months. So anyway, they fixed it. So I guess it's fixed. I still haven't connected my my Microsoft account back to Skype because it's, you know, I've been electrocuted so many times. I just don't trust it anymore.
Yeah. When I told Paul that this was fixed, he said, "You mean allegedly."
Right. He's right. So skeptical.
You don't know that.
So skeptical.
I don't trust those people.
Oh, well, it's
the good news for Skype, though, is I will say this. So I'm not entirely clear on the organization, but the organization, the group that makes Link is now the same group that makes Skype. So these guys are all together. And I've asked them to punish those people from Skype, but at least to have a good influence on them, because the Link stuff is so clean and is so wonderful and it works so well. And I really want them to have a positive influence on Skype and not the reverse.
Good.
But man, think about it. 11 months.
Yeah.
11 months this thing was broken. Am I seriously the only person on earth that uses this?
You have a lot of devices.
I do.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is if you have Outlook.com open in a web browser and you have Skype, it will never stop ringing. Good.
And now you're going to have phantom ring syndrome. You're going to think it's ringing. You're going to feel a vibration in your pocket when nothing's there.
I can hear it in my dreams, Leo.
Oh, let's cheer him up. Xbox One update. Woohoo!
Yeah. You know what, though? The Xbox One, and by the way, the PlayStation 4 suffers from the same issue. It's in a weird place now from a functionality standpoint because there's still a lot of stuff that we kind of took for granted in Xbox 360 in this case that still isn't available in Xbox One.
Yeah.
And that's a little weird, but, you know, almost every month now, and I think they skip one, but... they've had a system update, and they've improved stuff. And it's really interesting when you look at the list of stuff that they added in this version. A lot of it is stuff that was just you just kind of did on the 360. They've kind of just added it back, and some of the stuff is such no-brainer stuff. Like if you start a party, which is a group of guys, and you're going to go do something, typically play a game together, and of course you're going to want to chat during the game, before the game, between the games. Before this update, they didn't enable party chat by default. You had to go and enable it. Like, of course you want to talk to these people. You're in a party.
Right.
And so they did that. It's just kind of stuff like that. It's crazy. But, Twitch is in there, although you have to download that app. Twitch is, I personally think it's ridiculous, but I'm over 18 years old, so I guess I would think that.
Like Twitch. Then you can watch them beat Pokemon Red.
Right.
Right there on your big screen TV. I have to say, one of the things that they added, and I don't know which update, because when I first set up the Xbox One back in December, it didn't know about my TV, which is a really, really new Samsung TV, and it does now. It can control it now.
Oh, so it actually got like a driver update or something.
I think they're adding devices and stuff over time.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's nice, because when I say Xbox turn off, I shouldn't have said that. I turned off Xboxes all
Leo,
over the country.
Hell?
What? Stop it! But when I say Xbox TO... it turns off my TV and my Xbox, which didn't used
Very
to
nice.
Do. And in fact, you can have it turn off your receiver too if you want. So that's kind of nice.
Okay.
Yeah. And I like it that your only friend is Alex Gumpel.
Is Alex? Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. It's good that you have a friend. Who is that? What is going on there? Are you playing a
Twitch video?
South Park? Oh, it's a Twitch video.
Yeah, it's a South Park game. Yeah.
Still waiting for new games. Finally, we've got Plants vs. Zombies player,
Yeah. Well, next week is Titanfall.
And next week is Titanfall.
Obviously, time is going to stand still when that thing comes out.
Yeah.
At least your internet connection will.
Sony says we've sold 6 million PlayStations, and now we're in Japan soon.
Yeah.
That's going to be even more.
I'm confused by this.
Why?
Because I don't think the PlayStation 4 is anything special. I don't say that in a mean way or in some kind of a partisan Xbox fanboy way. I mean, literally, I don't think it's anything special. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, per se. It's just, I get that it's $100 less than the Xbox One. That's absolutely
There's no reason to run out and get it because...
There are no amazing games that only run on the PS4. None. I mean, literally not one.
Not that the Xbox isn't in the same position, but it's
it is.
Both were rushed out, and they both neither has any compelling reason to get them.
I don't follow this as closely, but the PlayStation 4 has the exact same issues with stuff that is not on the console that was on the PS3, and people are like, why doesn't it work with DLNA, or why doesn't it do that? I don't know. Well, I do know, like what you just said, they were rushed to market. I mean, they obviously had this
both
kind of
were, both
official
were.
Schedule. Yeah. Yeah, both of them. Yep.
And it so, is.
Yeah, somehow
it is
they've sold 6 million of these things.
Spec-wise, on paper, it looks better. So maybe people are just looking at the specs, looking
I don't
at
think
the $100
that
bucks less.
To people. And I would say, honestly, I would just say that if you look at the last generation of consoles, the runaway champion, the bestseller, was a joke, technically. It was the Wii.
Right.
It was a generation behind, technically, the other consoles. So I'm not sure that's a big deal. I think, honestly, it almost comes down to marketing. You know, Sony, which I honestly feel is fairly inept as a company, somehow did a masterful job. At the same time when Microsoft was screwing everything up at E3, and they kind of rode this wave throughout the year. I think that combined with the price difference, the fact that they're in so many more markets, I don't know why Microsoft is approaching selling the Xbox like they did with the Surface. It's like, well, we'll just take 2 years and we'll slowly roll it out around the world. I guess you could do that. Or why don't you just release it? You know, why is this thing not for sale everywhere? It doesn't make any sense to me, but that's what they're doing. So here we are.
Yeah. Yep. Music videos are back.
Not a big deal there, but I music videos are available in the Xbox Music app for Xbox 360. It's the only platform that Xbox Music supports music videos on. They've added them to Xbox One now, so if you want to watch music videos, now they're there.
Enjoy. Just a couple of more notes, and then we're going to get to our.
I didn't want to talk about CarPlay, but Mary Jo begged me, and I said, "Well, you know,
it's funny. I didn't either. We were doing Mac Break Weekly yesterday, which would be the natural place to talk about it, and I completely forgot.
Mary Jo's video is frozen.
It's all right.
No, is it?
That's because she's using iOS. Because
I slept.
You look so stern.
She's relaxing during the Xbox conversation.
Yes, I heard Xbox, and I just kind of nodded.
Yeah, just to knock it off.
This will wake her up. Let me just play this for Paul. And, this is the dubstep version. Watch, here comes the drop. It's very exciting. Thanks to our chat room.
This is what it sounds like in my head. Skype ringtone.
And why don't we restart your video, Mary Jo, if you would.
Actually, this song has words, and those words are "screw you, Paul."
Yeah, screw you, Paul. Screw you, Paul. So maybe you should restart. I don't know, Mary Jo. Are you not having luck?
Oh. Yeah, she's. Oh, she's back.
How about now?
Yay! All right. Here comes the drop. We gotta get to the drop. I hope there's a drop. It says dubstep remix. I want some dubstep, man.
Yo, they just fixed this problem this week, and now you're making it come back.
Not much of a drop. All right, moving on. Thank you.
All I wanted to say about CarPlay was, I don't know if you folks have looked at the videos, but this actually looks really nice.
I feel like I can't get excited until I actually see it.
Yeah, problem with this is going to be that car makers don't actually move very quickly, and it's going to roll out over years and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But the thing that is interesting to me is that it works with, touch interfaces, of course, but also there are luxury car makers like Mercedes and BMW that have kind of knobs and buttons and things.
I hate the buttons. There's too many knobs and buttons.
No, I don't mean the ones in the dash. I mean in the center console that actually is a better way to interface with the car. Like, look at that right
knobs and controls, yeah.
It does all that stuff. Yeah. And I actually think this is going to be kind of a big deal. I think it probably shouldn't have been surprising that Apple came out with something kind of elegant looking and, you know, and nice and whatever. And it shouldn't be surprising maybe that it's starting in the luxury cars either. But I think this thing... I think this is going to be really nice.
I don't trust Apple's software anymore. I really don't. Yes. And I don't want it in my car until I...
Well, I can tell you what I don't trust is the third-party app support stuff. And they have a few apps in there. They're mostly like kind of radio type apps.
It's the stuff that already Ford, you know, Sync supports, like Stitcher and Spotify.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
iHeartRadio.
Like, I don't think you're going to have a wide range of third-party apps on the, you know, it's going to be the Apple stuff. But, you know, a lot of people have Apple devices and all that. And I think it looks like it's going to be a nice system.
But, hey, it can't be worse than the stuff that's out there already.
Yeah.
Unless it crashes a lot. I just, Apple software lately is really crap.
Well, at least you get Apple Maps in there, so.
So there you got something.
Well, you got that going for you.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about this tabloid?
Just briefly. I mean, you know, Android controls 80% of the market for handsets, right?
Worldwide.
Yep. And now what was the figure on tablets? I want to say 65%, something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of an Android world. I mean, I think one of the things to watch for this year is going to be Microsoft's, at least from our perspective, Microsoft's support of this platform. Because if you look at the mobile app situation right now, almost everything they do is already on iOS. About half of what they do is on Android. They actually have a lot more stuff on iOS than they do on Android. And there are some high-profile examples like, you know, OneDrive for Business is not available on Android phones or tablets. And they have kind of a nice handset, you know, iPhone and iPad version already for those apps. And so I think we're going to see a bigger push from the Microsoft end in the Android space this year. Hopefully we'll also see a bigger push from Microsoft in the tablet space this year, because as of last year, they had, what's the figure? It's a little number. Where is it? Some tiny percentage, 2-3%, something like that. It's not good.
Yeah. But it's worldwide, remember? And I think that those percentages are skewed by the fact that there's millions of $89 AOSP Android tablets out there and stuff like
that.
Sure. It's not, you know, I mean, these are not premium products by any means.
No.
Let us take a break. When we come back, our tip of the week, our software of the week, enterprise, code name, and beer. All ahead. Can't wait for
the show. Really makes no sense when you break it down like that.
I know. And in a moment, beer and enterprise picks. It's coming up.
Yep, of course it is.
Along with code names. But first, ShareFile from Citrix. ShareFile is the way to share files in business. Now, I know there are many, many choices for you if you are if you're trying to share files. The worst choice, of course, would be to attach those files to an email. We know that doesn't work because it's not secure. It's you get bounce backs. It's not secure. but there, you know, and it's hard to believe, but I think almost every business email, a great many of them these days, include, you know, spreadsheets, contracts, PowerPoint presentations, pictures of the grandkids, whatever. I send files to radio stations all the time. I send my ads and voice tracks to radio stations. And I've learned, because I've tried all different ways of doing it. ShareFile is how I do it now 100%, and it's the easiest way to do it. I have folders on my desktop. I put files in there. ShareFile automatically syncs them to the cloud. I can access them, by the way, anytime from the cloud, from any browser. But I can also email them along to somebody. Let me show you my ShareFile account real quickly. By the way, notice it's branded, so they customize it for every industry, HIPAA compliant. That's important if you're in the medical industry. When I want to send a file to somebody, I have permissions here. You know, people have access and a variety of permissions, so they can just get into the folder if I want to give them that permission. But I can also send a folder. Let me show you what happens when I send a folder. This is really awesome. I can send it as an email, or I can send them a direct link, and I have all sorts of control. I could say, email me when the file has been downloaded. I can require recipients to enter the name and email before downloading. I can give it an expiration date, anything from never to a year to a day to 6 months and 3 months, and downloads per user, how many times they can download it. Then I'll just create this link here. Now, this I can paste into email. This is safe. It's secure. And what's great about it is they don't have to have a membership. Let me paste it into the browser and show you. They don't have to have any particular software. What they'll get is a link that they can click on. They're going to get a branded web page, my logo there, not ShareFiles, my logo there. It's going to say download this folder. It says how big it is. That zips the folder together to make it easy for him. And there's a download button. No login. You know, none of the extra hoops to jump through. This works so well, even with unsophisticated users. When I send this stuff out to the radio stations, I never have problems. If I forget to, I can fire up ShareFile on my phone or my tablet, and I can send the files from there. If you are working in business and sending files to people, you've got to try ShareFile.com. Here's the deal. Go to ShareFile.com. Try it free for 30 days. You do not need a credit card. All you need to do is use our offer code. If you visit ShareFile.com, now there are three different places you can enter this offer code, so I want to make sure you get the right one. Go to ShareFile.com. There's a big green button in the middle. Don't click that. There's a menu item at the top of the page. Don't click that. Way at the top in the fine print, they've hidden this. Podcast listeners, click here. Please do that if you will. I know maybe not the most obvious place. But when you do, you can enter in our offer code Windows. You could select the industry that you'd like to that you're in so that you can get it customized for that industry. 30 days free. You got to try it. It really is the easiest, the best way. And if you're not the decider at your business, tell them. Tell your IT pro or your CIO or whoever is there that makes those decisions about ShareFile, because it really is easy and fast and secure. ShareFile.com and free for the first 30 days. Make sure you use our offer code Windows. Paul Thurrott, start things off with our tip of the week.
Yeah, last week I talked about Bing Rewards a little bit in the context of a special promotion they were having around free OneDrive storage.
Signed up?
Yeah. I signed up twice, actually. Yeah. I signed up for the deal twice, I should say.
Did you get twice as many storage?
I did. And actually, so Microsoft contacted me that night and they said,
hey, buddy.
Yeah, they said, thanks for publicizing this. Actually, that was a mistake, so we fixed it. And so I guess if you move quickly, you got it. But
oh, wow. Okay.
I took it away.
Yeah. So how much is your OneDrive storage now? Thanks to your mistake, you must have terabytes of storage.
I could. Actually, the truth is I have multiple like Surface cards that are like, I think 200 gigs each or whatever. I've got a card actually right in front of me that's for 100 gig that I've never used.
Jeez, Paul.
I have, you know, I think it's 468 gigs or something like that. But
awesome. That's good.
Yeah, I'm going to downsize. Because it's I don't use most of it, obviously. No, I don't know why I'm doing this. It's an addiction, Leo. So anyway.
Having said that, here's how you can get more.
Well, no. So somebody on Twitter, Frank C, I've lost his name, Frank C, or actually I guess via email, reminded me that there's also an Xbox Live Rewards program. This, of course, rewards you for playing on the Xbox or doing things on the Xbox, not just games, but doing any of the entertainment type stuff. So if you buy like a video on Xbox video, if you buy an Xbox Live Gold subscription, if you get achievements in multiplayer or whatever games, all of these things add up to little rewards, and you can.
Can you trade the rewards in for anything?
Yeah. So yes, you can, Leo.
Oh, good.
The funny thing is like the Bing Rewards program, I had never done this before. I never looked at this. And so I have actually been – it's funny. I do get this email from them, I guess, once a month. And they tell you how you did that month, you know, what you got, you know, what you – and so forth. I'm apparently some kind of like a Xbox Rewards VIP kind of thing because I have a lot of gamer points or whatever it is. And so – I guess the further you go up, the more you earn on what you do. And so I guess if you're at like a legend level or whatever the next one is up from there, you earn double or triple the points for each of the things. And I think this is basically just one of those ways, you know, for people who are kind of engaged in this too.
Can I get games or anything? I mean, what do I get?
Yeah. What do you get?
Do I get like a special skin for my...
Yeah, right.
My Roman centurion. Yeah, I want money.
You want money? I don't think you can get money.
No, but I could get a VIP treatment.
Right.
Get rewarded for your gamer score. I mean, if I could get a 50% off Titanfall, I'd be thrilled. Oh, yeah, it says I think you can use the points as cash, Mr. Mike says.
Yeah, you kind of, I think you can do things like apply them toward like an Xbox Live Gold subscription.
Cool. All right.
Get money for that kind of thing. Right. So.
I'm trying to rack them up. Might as well. It doesn't cost anything to sign up.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, if you're going to be doing, right, if you're just like an Xbox Live or Xbox guy, I mean.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you do it?
Why wouldn't you?
But the same thing with Bing. Like, I actually used, it's funny, like I had signed up for it, but I don't really use it that much. I after discussing this last week, a bunch of guys were telling me, like, what are you talking about? I have like 25 million points on this thing. Like, I could buy a car with this. You know, like I think there are people who really like use it really heavily.
It's like SNH green stamps. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just, yeah. You know, it's a little, you know, getting a toaster at the bank for checking account.
Right, right. I don't know how to help myself, Leo. I think that's the problem.
And your software pick of the week?
So I guess I could have gone in a lot of different directions with this one. I chose the Facebook Messenger app because it just came out today. This is the, if you're familiar with Facebook Messenger, you know it's available on other platforms and so forth. It's a standalone messaging app. So now we've got like 2,500 of them now on Windows Phone 8. You know, it's attractive and it's Windows Phone looking and all that kind of stuff. And so if you're big on Facebook, that's kind of good stuff. I don't think we talked about this, or did we? Service Pack 1. Did we talk about this last week, Service Pack 1 for the Office stuff? Or has that happened since last week? I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
But,
oh, I turned off Mary Jo. She could respond. I'm sorry. I turned you off because I didn't want you the snoring to come through.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really talk about it. Oh, we did. Okay, then never mind. Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention in the context of software is I've picked MetroTwit at least two or three times as a pick on the show. And those folks, who include Long Zhang, a good friend of ours, are now discontinuing the application, both the desktop app and the version for Windows 8.
It's connected the desktop. I remember we talked about it. So this is now also the
still works if you have it. And you know, they're not going to add any more features or anything. It works fine. And I'm going to go slow on this one before I kind of figure out what I'm going to do. But I really, really like MetroTwit a lot. And I use it every single day. It's running every day for me. But, you know, they have that Twitter third-party API issue. And Twitter's not giving out tokens or whatever it is.
You know, somebody just pointed out that Facebook is shutting down Messenger at the end of the month.
What's that?
Facebook is shutting down Messenger at the end of the month.
Oh, Messenger app for desktop,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if that impacts the maybe
we have new Messenger app for Windows Phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, this is not. Yeah, this is
that's
not
different. Okay, good.
Yeah. Right.
Be funny if they released it and then a month later said, oh, by the way.
Oh, man.
Well, on Windows Phone, you can actually do Facebook Messenger from within the messaging.
You can on all the phones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So people are obviously saying, so why would I want this instead of what's already built into Windows Phone? And the answer is, today you might not. But the problem with that integration stuff in Windows Phone has always been that when new features are added to the service, and this is something that has dogged Facebook in particular on Windows Phone, they don't update the phone to match the new functionality.
Right.
There are still things that you cannot do, and many things you cannot do, not so much with messaging, but with you know, Facebook check-ins and so forth on Windows Phone, unless you use the standalone app. And so the Facebook Messenger app is a way to hopefully ensure that we're at least semi-up-to-date. I mean, you know, certainly the app could sit there and not be updated as well. That happened with Spotify. It happens, you know, obviously, but apps can be updated much more quickly than in OS integration. So maybe today there isn't a huge advantage to it. Down the road, that will almost certainly change. And who knows, the next version of Windows Phone, maybe that stuff starts getting eked out of the OS. There's certainly some indications that that's happening.
Mary Jo Foley, Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes, my Enterprise Pick of the Week is a new version of Dynamics ERP, which is Microsoft's ERP, one of four different ones. They have a Dynamics AX, GP, SL, NAV. And the update that we heard about this week at the Convergence show in Atlanta was Dynamics AX 2012 R3. There's a name for you. they said this new version is going to be out on May 1st. But the cool thing that they showed at the show was a Windows 8 app that is for shop floor operators so that they can report on production jobs. They actually showed this off during the conference. and it's tied to the delivery of this version of Dynamics AX. It's really kind of ironic, but the Dynamics team at Microsoft that does ERP and CRM software, they've been kind of out to prove that not every Windows 8 app has to be a game or a consumer-focused thing, that you really can build real line-of-business apps that make sense for Windows 8. So they really put a lot of effort at the show into talking about that and also saying that they're going to have a framework for customers and partners, too, who want to develop their own Windows 8 apps that tie in to Dynamics AX. So it's very interesting. I didn't think this would be the group that that came out as the Windows 8 champion at Microsoft for line of business, but they have turned out to be that. So that's why it's my pick of the week.
I think they're saying Lou MM is on that Dynamics team. I didn't know that.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. One of our regulars in chat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And for codename pick of the week, a little town in Northern California or Virginia, you pick.
Yep. This one's Virginia. The code name is Fairfax.
Oh, yeah. And I know why, too. Yeah.
Right. Fairfax is the code name for an implementation of Windows Azure called the Windows Azure Government Cloud. And we've talked about this before. Microsoft announced it last year, but they never said when they were actually going to let people start testing it or when they would roll it out. It turns out this week they said they are beginning to do private tests with government customers here in the U.S., who want to kick the tires, and that following those very close tests, they'll have a limited public test of the Azure Government Cloud. So what this is a version of Azure where there's physical and logical isolation at every layer of the cloud. It's only run by U.S. personnel with government backgrounds that have been investigated. And it'll follow a lot of the defense in depth, multi-level security practices, they say. So if you're a U.S. government customer and you want all those guarantees that you need to run secure government jobs in the cloud, this will probably be your choice of the cloud. No jokes, please, on NSA. This is something they're touting as a secure version of Windows Azure for government customers.
Very nice. And finally, well, maybe not. Let's just check before we get to the beer of the week. Did that near Earth orbit asteroid hit us? No. Okay. So
no? Good.
You can have a beer.
Good. Yes, beer pick of the week this week.
This is
I picked
weird
a brown.
One.
Yeah. Yes. This is a beer from Smutty Nose Brewing in New Hampshire. It's called the Dirty Mud Season Brown, D-U-R-T-Y. And why it's weird, a little weird, is it's a brown ale that's very hoppy. So Paul probably wouldn't love this one, but if you're somebody like, yeah, if you're somebody like me who likes hops, but you still also like a brown ale, this is a really nice mix of the two in one beer. And this seems to be a trend. I noticed Lagunitas right near Twit has a similar kind of a hoppy brown now called Couch Trippin'.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's pretty good. I tried that too. That was good as
Couch
well.
Couch Trippin'.
So, yeah.
Love the name. Smutty Nose, Dirty Mud, Season, Hoppy, Brown, Ale. Our pick of the week from Smutty Nose Brewing Company. Mary Jo Foley is my pick for allaboutmicrosoft.com. You must follow her. Her ZDNet blog, Paul Thurrott, is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. His book is finished, the Windows 8.1 book at windows81book.com. Now known as Windows 8.1 The Field Guide.
Jeez.
And,
or something.
Or something. He's also working on a book on Windows Music, Xbox Music, and Windows Phone. Of course, he's the king. He's the expert. We do this show together every Wednesday. We talk about Microsoft, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. Do watch live if you can. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video always available after the fact at twit.tv/WW or wherever finer netcasts are aggregated and delivered to your system, like iTunes, Stitcher, Windows Phone 8.1, the podcast app, that kind of thing. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.